Heyo! Episode 78 of Thomas and the Bible. I'm calling this one right now. It's going to be a crappy episode. I'm calling it Mediocre Sowed. So don't just stop now. Push the stop button on your tape recorder that you're on your, I don't know, on your tape deck. And just stop. And then push the rewind. And just go, and then like push. Sometimes when I was little, I'd try to push the buttons at the same time just to see if they could. Like, I want to see if I can play and rewind at the same time. I jam them together and they wouldn't go. Do all that because this sode's going to suck. Solomon just is not putting out. He's not giving us anything to work with. No, there's a little bit. It won't be. I'll try to make it not terrible. But there's not much happening. Also, I don't have any viewers right now. This has never happened to me. I usually have like three, but, that's okay. Who cares? All right. We're on Kings 7. First Kings, chapter 7. And this chapter is entirely about him building a house. And I know, it's just tingling with excitement. But Solomon was building his own house 13 years. Wow. Well, that's interesting because they fit it all into only 10 years of the Bible, of real-time Bible reading. So I guess they trimmed like 3 years for us, but 13 years of building and it takes 10 years to read this section of the book. So they saved us a little time, but not much. He built also the house of the forest of Lebanon. The length thereof was, oh, guess what, guys? Cubits. Get out your calculators here. We get to figure out the cubits to everything. The length thereof, 100 cubits. The breadth thereof, 50 cubits. The height thereof, 30 cubits. Upon 4 rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams upon the pillars. And it was covered with cedar above upon the beams that lay on 45 pillars, 15 in a row, and there were windows in 3 rows, and light was against light in 3 ranks. And all the doors and posts were square, and the windows and light against 3 ranks. You know what? I forgot something. I wanted to ask you guys, my wealth of listeners now. So I'm doing this now, because if I wait till the end of the show, everyone, I think most of you probably tuned out by now, because you heard cubits, but, you know, what small chance I have of anyone listening, I'm going to do now. So I am wondering if there's anyone amongst my listening hordes who has some interest in somehow collaborating with me on website crap, because I don't have the patience. I barely can do this podcast because it just takes a lot of time to do each one, and I know, boo-hoo. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, like, I might be able to pay somebody something to set something up, but I don't know. Like, also, I think at this point, if I got something decent set up, I could do some sort of advertising to try to make a few bucks, and then, I don't know. So, if you are a website person, and you might want to work with me. I don't know any of what I can offer, what it's going to be. But if there's any interest, why don't you message me or something on Facebook. Facebook.com/TandTheB. And let's work something out. I feel like if I, you know, I could, I'll probably when I get around to it, I'll just, you know, go on some site and hire somebody to do it. But that'll be annoying and they won't be, you know, a dedicated listener. I figure this crowd has got to have some website people in it, you know, who know how to do all that crap. It's mainly that I just don't, It's mainly that I know I cannot do it. I have no patience for it. I don't know. Message me if you're a website-y person and want to maybe work something out. And when I don't get any messages, I'll just have a shitty website and that'll be that. And it'll be your fault, not mine. Nah, it's not your fault. It's my fault. But this is my feeble attempt to maybe see if anyone wants to work with me on it. And maybe if you set it up and it, you know, makes millions of ducats in ad revenue, we could work something out. Okay. What am I doing here? Podcast or something? Oh, one more announcement. If everything goes well, I should be going on a podcast called The Digression Sessions to be a guest next Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. The podcast is they say they listen to it, so I'm not going to talk too much shit, but it's a terrible piece of crap. No, I'm just kidding. It's interesting. It's a little slow starting out. Like, I listened to the last couple episodes, and I think they just are not big into editing, which is fine. I don't edit either, as you can tell. If I edited, this would all be gone. But like, listen to it, which you did, if you stick with it, it's really funny. It's interesting. It's insightful too. I think it's a couple smart guys over there, and I'll announce it for sure next time, or I'll post it on the Facebook, a link or something. But hopefully, I'm going on their show. It's going to be interesting. I can't wait. I don't know that I'm their typical kind of guest. It seems like they do deal mainly with people that are funny or interesting. But no, I will see how it goes. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it. So, and then, you know, if they cancel, I'll just be like, oh, F those guys. And then I'll talk a bunch of shit on. No, not really. That's not going to happen. All right. So back to whatever the hell I'm trying to do here. So I'm going to go from that nothing to this nothing, to more nothing. And he made a porch of pillars. The length thereof was 50 cubits, the breadth thereof 30 cubits. The porch was on... Okay, I'm just going to try to skip through this chapter. Honestly, nothing happens. The next chapter has a little bit, but this chapter is just building. So unless you're a budding architect who's trying to get some ideas first, I don't know. Then he made a porch for the throne where he might judge. Just going to sit there and just judge. You're a little fat. You have a terrible personality. Now, like, why is he doing that? Well, he made a porch for judging. He's going to do some judging. Even the porch of judgment, it was covered with cedar from one side of the floor to the other. And his house where he dwelt had another court within the porch, which was of the like work. Solomon made also an house for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken to wife, like unto this porch. A little weird. Like he took the wife and the daughter and the porch unto wife. All these were of costly stones, according to the measures of hewed stones, sawed with saws. Yeah, he just wanted the most expensive stone. Turns out it's actually terrible for building. It just crumbles instantly. But he's like, give me the most expensive stone you got. But Your Highness, it just crumbles. It's crap. It's only expensive because it's so bad at being built. It's a weird, like, it's so bad it's good thing. I don't care. I want the most expensive stone. According to the measure of huge stones, sawed with saws within and without, even from the foundation. Look, this stone is so expensive because it's notoriously bad for castle building, for whatever the hell he's building, for house of God construction. Connoisseurs of really bad house of God construction buy this stone as like a collector's item, and they have artificially pushed up the price, which is why it's the costly stone. Hey, I don't care. I want the costly stone. I've gone too far with this joke. It's not funny. And the foundation was of costly stones. Wait, he's the one, he started. He's emphasizing how, ooh, look at my costly stones. So expensive. Ooh, you never guess how much this stone cost. Yeah, I don't know, like five bucks? How much does stone cost? I have no idea. Even great stones, stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits, and above were costly stones, more costly stones. He's the kind of guy who, like, the whole time he's showing you the house, like, you know, hold on. He's showing you his house, and he's like, oh, so here's this, you know, here's this wall I built out of the stone. And he's, like, trying to get you, like, oh, this stone was a little pricey, I'll say. You know, he's, like, trying to get you to ask, like, well, how much did it cost? Oh, this whole thing, oh, man, I don't know if I even want to talk about how much this whole house cost. I don't want to talk. Why did you bring it up? I don't want to talk. How much? What? What's that? How much did it cost? How much? You're going to ask me how much this cost? Oh, well, I guess I'll tell you. You asked me, I'll tell you. This house cost a zillion. I don't know what's their unit of what is their currency or whatever. I don't know. Who cares? And above were costly stones. I already read that. And the great court roundabout was with three rows of hewed stones and a row of cedar beams, both for the inner court of the house of the Lord and for the porch of the house. And King Solomon sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre. He was a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass. He got down to brass tacks. And he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work all works in brass. And he came to King Solomon and wrought his work. For he cast two pillars of brass and of 18 cubits high apiece, and a line of 12 cubits to compass either of them about. And he made two chapiters. Chapiters? That's weird. It's like the word is like chapter, but with an I in it. Chapiter. I've never heard of that. It's very interesting. Made two chapiters. Boy, if I had some, you know, viewers, I could ask them in the chat to look that up, but I'm not going to do it. No, I didn't give anyone notice for this recording, so that's why no one's watching. But you listeners don't know. I take it back. Man, so many. Oh, crashing the server with all these viewers here. Guys, slow down with the chat. I'm going to need to start moderating this. Chapiters. The height of one chapiter was 5 cubits, and the height of the other chapiter was 5 cubits. Could have just said the height of both chapiters was 5 cubits. Or you could just said, like, in general, the height of a chapiter is 5 cubits. And nets of checker work and wreaths of chain work. But this, all right, this construction so far has been a little more entertaining than I thought it would be. It's not saying much, but it's something. Where the top of the pillar, 7 for one chapiter and 7 for the other. 6 of one chapiter, half dozen of the other chapiter. And he made the pillars in 2 rows round about upon the one network to cover the chapiters that were on top with pomegranates. And so did he for the other chapiter. And the chapiters that were upon the top of the pillars were of lily work in the porch, 4 cubits. And the chapiters, if they made up this word chapiter, they just made up, like, they're really trying to get their miles out of it. Like, hey, let's keep using that new word, you know, that new thing we made up, chapiter. It doesn't mean anything, but we're going to use the crap out of it until people just are like, oh yeah, chapiters, I don't know what that is. What is it? It's a building thing. It's not a pillar, but it's like something that's not a pillar. That's what it's like. And the chapiters upon the two pillars had pomegranates also above, over against the belly, which was by the network. Well, yeah, they had to set up a network there, of course. The pomegranates were 200 in rows, round about upon the other chapiter, and he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple, and he set up his router, and it's always crashing, always has to power cycle, stupid thing. Even to a man like Solomon, King Solomon is not immune from having to power cycle his stupid router and modem every 5 minutes. God, people in the year 2015, hopefully, if everything goes well, are going to laugh at how much we had to effing power cycle our stupid routers. Is it just me? Do I just have a crappy router? But I feel like I've had to do that all my life. It just goes out like all the time and I just have to restart it and then it's fine. Like, what? Can't they make it do it itself or just magically make one that doesn't do that? I just think people are going to laugh at us. You know, it'll be like, you know, back in the days when they just amputated somebody if they got like a scratch on them, they're just like, cut it off. Can't be healed. It's going to be like that, but with routers. It'd be like, first of all, I don't even know where my router is because we set it up and it just worked. I'm talking as someone from the future. I don't even know what a router is because it's just a house. A house just has internet, I'm sure. Like, I don't know what you mean. First off, then after you explain to them, like, well, there's this thing that gives the house internet. Houses. What if people in the future just think internet is a like property of nature, you know? What if, and it's like 10 years, say, when it's just everywhere, which it will be. It'll be everywhere, I'm sure. What if they just think it's nothing, like they don't even realize it's a thing. Like they're just, their phone has internet or what, you know, they don't even connect. Like it just is internet. What is it? If you're a baby growing up in that, then maybe you will think that. You'll just be like, yeah, this is internet. It's, you don't even have a word for it. Like this is a phone. Yeah, and I can go to Google. You know, it's just a little thing on my phone. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about this. But even Solomon was not immune from power cycling is router. That was the line, the biblical text that brought me to this. All right. And he made a molten sea, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was round all about, and its height was 5 cubits. And a line of 30 cubits did encompass it round about. And under the brim of it round about, there were knops compassing it, 10 in a cubit, compassing the sea about. I don't care about this. Sea mist, an oxen, 3 looking to the north, 3. So this is just some work of art he built. It was a handbreadth thick, and yeah, something happened. No, nothing happened. I mean, it was something. You need 10 bases of brass, 4 cubits of the length, 1 base, and 4 cubits with the breadth thereof, 3 cubits of the height thereof, and the work of the bases of the manor. And they had borders, and borders were between the ledges, and on the borders that were between the ledges were lions, oxen, cherubims, naked women, different things. And upon the ledges there was a base above. And beneath the lions and the oxen were certain additions made of thin work. And every base had 4 brazen wheels on the length of the base, and 4 corners thereof and undersetters. And under the laver were undersettlers molded on the side of every addition. It almost sounds like I'm not speaking English anymore, huh? Under the lavers were undersetters molten at the side of every addition, and the mouth of it, within the chapter and above, was a cubit. But the mouth thereof was round, after the work of the base. A cubit and a half is all the mouth of the gratings of the board of 4 square, not round. And the board is the 4 wheels and the axe trees, and the wheels joined the base, and the height of the wheel is a cubit. Can't you just draw us an effing picture? Did they not have picture technology back then? Just draw us a picture of a house on a page, and you're done. You're done with this entire chapter. Just, it doesn't have to be good. Who cares? Just draw, take your fist and put a freaking writing implement just in your fist and just like, and just draw like a little box with a little triangle on the top because it's the roof, and just say, house of God. That's done. You're done with this chapter. This is so stupid. God, this book sucks. This is the word. Who published this thing? Who signed off on this? Did anyone edit this? Jesus. And there were 4 undersetters on the top of the base. Who cares? And there were 10 levers of brass. 1 lever contained 40 baths. Every lever was 4 cubits. 700. Put 5 bases on the side of the house. 5 on the side of the house. And it was right side of the house. And Hiram made the lavers and the shovels and the basin. So Hiram made an end of doing all the work that he made King Solomon for the house of the Lord. 2 pillars, 2 bowls and captures on the 2 pillars, 2 networks to cover the bowl of chapters. And 400 pomegranates and 2 networks, even rows, 2 pomegranates and the bowls. Solomon left all the vessels unweighed because they were exceeding many, and it was the weight of the brass found out. So Solomon made... Oh, that was a funny little thing. So he... It's describing another thing that we don't care about. It said, there's these vessels of bright brass. And it said, unfortunately, they never weighed these vessels, so we can't tell you how much they weighed. oh, man. I was keeping track of all the weight of everything and all the cubits and all that crap. But now it's ruined because this one thing, I don't know how much it weighed because there was too many of them for them to weigh. It's gosh, dang it. That's a real disappointment to these guys. Sorry. They didn't weigh them. We can't tell you how much they weighed. Shit. I'm not going to sleep tonight because of this. Is that my cat? I thought I heard something. Anyway. Nah, I killed that cat. He doesn't exist anymore. I'm just pretending he exists. Hi, cat. You're just off camera over there. You're a kitty. No, I didn't kill my cat yet. But I don't know where he is. He's an asshole. And Solomon made all the vessels that pertained unto the house of the Lord, the altar of gold, and the table of gold, whereupon the shewbread was, and the candlesticks of pure gold, 5 on the right side, 5 on the left, before the oracle with the flowers, and the lamps, and the tongs of gold, and the bowls, and the snuffers, and the basins, and the spoons, and the censers of pure gold, and the hinges of pure gold, and the doors of the inner house, with the temple. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. Thank God. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels, and he put them among the treasures of the house of the Lord. All right. Let's never talk of that again. Going on to chapter 8. Now, this is a long one. This is why there's only 2 chapters in today's reading, because one is a long-ass, boring piece of crap chapter about building nothing. And then the other one is really long, but it might have some sort of substance. Okay. Okay. Let's put that behind us. Okay. Let's Okay. Here's real stuff. Maybe, kind of. Not really, but I'm after that chapter, it feels like it might be kind of real. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers and of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon, Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And the king Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could be that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. Damn it! Now we don't know how many of this thing. Oh, another thing we don't know how much of it was. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen, left and right, that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. Wait, what? Did I read that twice? I don't know. I'm not sure if it repeated that or... I don't know. And could you tell the difference? No. There's... No one's held accountable for this thing. Who knows? I might have just read the same sentence twice, or I didn't. Do you know? Does it matter? No, it doesn't even matter. That's why this book sucks so much. And the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the Ark. And the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. Mm-hmm. True. Ah. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel. I heard them. When they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon. The Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. The king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth. Another one, sorry. Oh, yeah. This is going to be a tough one to get through. And said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, Whereas it was thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build a house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake. And I am risen up in the room of David my father to sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Okay, so Solomon's just saying that David, his dad, his gay dad, had what the hell? He had said he wanted to build a house of the Lord, but God said, "Well, I appreciate that you want to do it and you want it to be named after you, but nah." But I will give you a son who will build it and then name it after you. That's what Solomon is saying. I don't remember this happening. That's what he's claiming. Which is weird. Why would God do that? It doesn't make any sense. But I don't know why God wouldn't do it, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. God could do anything in this book. Who knows? So now, okay, let's see if we're getting to the part that I actually care about. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel. Okay, this is great. I think I've done something similar to this before, but Solomon is going to pray to the Lord, kind of in front of everybody, you know? And I just like to point out, when I read this, I just think how interesting it is that just every single prayer I've ever heard of, and I've heard of a few because I grew up a little bit in the church, and, you know, I've just in everyday life, you just occasionally come across prayers. I don't know. When people pray, it's so weird that it's clearly they're talking to no one. And I know that sounds simple, but what I mean is they're talking for an audience that isn't even the person they're talking to, if that makes sense. Maybe I'll read some of this and then you'll know what I mean. It's really, I don't know, I find it really interesting and really, like, if you just step back and think, like, they're almost praying, hoping that someone's hearing them, but not God. Not really that God's hearing them. I understand sometimes they say, like, someone might pray, like, God, give me my legs back. And that's, they probably just want God to hear that. But let's listen to this. There is no God like thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Who hast kept thy servant David, my father, that thou promisedest him? Thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. Oh, and now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, thy father. So, like, that stuff, for instance, what is that about? Like, okay, let's just imagine. I'm going to imagine you are not here. You are not here. Get out. And I'm just talking to God, right? Just talking. There's no one can hear me. Just me straight talking to Lord above. Just some dialogue. Me and the Lord above. Just gonna do some talking. And I start saying, there's no God like you. Oh, you keep your covenant so well and you walk with us. Now, keep with thy servant David, you know, keep with my father, as you promised him and as you said. You know, okay, so that kind of talk, like, you said, you told my father David, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel. Keep with that word, be verified. You know, like, can you imagine saying that to a being of some kind? It's like, especially, not just any being, an all-powerful, all-knowing being. The whole time, God would just have to be thinking, like, why are you telling me what to do, first of all? I'm going to do what I'm going to do, I'm God. And I'm not prone to persuasion. Because I'm God, and I'm, like, solid, like, nah, I'm just a fact. You know, I don't change my mind. God doesn't change his mind from one thing to another. It's just God. So, why are you saying, and then, why are you reminding me how good I am? Like, seems a little weird. I mean, I appreciate it. Thanks for the compliments, you know. I know there's no God like me. Like, why are you telling me there's no God like me? I know better than you. How much there's no God like me. So what? So you're in your limited little human experience. I'm being God, by the way. I don't know if you could tell that part. So this is God responding to this prayer. If you were actually praying to him, you think it's a compliment for you, a little puny human, and your tiny understanding of anything in the entire, like, there's a whole universe you don't even know about. You haven't even gotten to that point in your history that I'm already done with. I'm at the end, by the way. I've been at the end when I was at the beginning. That's done. In your tiny little experience, yeah, how good of a compliment is this to me that you say no God is like me? Maybe you're wrong. Maybe you don't even know if there's other gods in other realms, you know? It might be way better than me. You don't know. Or I am the best god, and why are you telling me something I already know? You know what I mean? It's like, it's the prayer is like something that someone else would think it's good to say to God. You know what I mean? And I find every prayer is like that, or most of them. Unless you're just, like I said, unless you're just like, dear God, you know, don't let them take my legs. I don't know. I pray that every day. I don't know why. Dear God, I don't even believe in God. And I'm like, dear God, don't let him take my legs. I need my legs. Yeah, something like that. I guess you're just asking God. Still, it's pointless because God's God. He's going to do what he's going to do. There's nothing you can do about it. Okay, I'm going to read on. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I've builded? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be open toward the house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, and thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. Now he's telling what... put them there. Oh, sorry. Someone commented, so I'm getting distracted. Anyway, now he's telling God what to do. Now he's like, now all-powerful God, who's in charge of the whole universe, I have some instructions for you. I have some tips. First of all, please go ahead and try to judge people accurately. Like, what is this? What? I don't believe that God exists just because he would have, by now, he would have had to talk back and just be like, dudes, all you dudes, telling me what to do, how to do my job, just shut up. Like, I know what I'm doing. You don't need to give me instructions. And no matter how much, this is the best part. When you're praying, when these people are praying to God, no matter how much you couch your instructions for me in praise, that doesn't distract me from the fact that you're asking me something. Like, dear God, you're so good. You're the best God in the world. There's no God like you, and I know you will do what is right. Having said that, please give me a 12-inch cock and $10 million. Like, that's the kind, like, that, even if you're praying for something, you know, more worthy or more wholesome, like an 8-inch cock. still, I love that this idea that if you like, it's such a human thing. If you tell God, like, God, you're so good, I know you're going to do your will, but please have it in your heart to do whatever I'm going to tell you. You know, like that's going to distract God. Like, whoa, that was a compliment. But he also said that I should do that. I'm going to do it, you know, just because of the compliment, I'm going to do it. You know, if he had said like, hey, God, you're an asshole, give me $100. I'd be like, nah, you know, I don't know. It's just so funny to me. It really is. Okay, so here's some more instructions. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. You know, I'm not done with this, because I keep realizing this is totally the psychology behind prayer. It's like people think that they're a step ahead of God. And I guess I can't speak to what every individual person is thinking, of course, but just in what I've seen, and I think maybe I prayed once or twice when I was religious. I don't know. I don't know if I really believed it, but when I did, or if I thought about it, it'd be in the form of, trying to trick God by saying, like, look, you're all powerful. You're everything. Like, you start off with a list of why he's so great and why he really shouldn't listen to anything I say because I'm a human. I'm a sinner. But having said all that, could you please do this? You know, like, different levels of just trying, like you're tricking God. But no matter how good your deception is, if you can do it, then God's better at it. Like, if God exists, he's better at whatever you're doing. So it's so funny. That's totally what it is, though. It's like people think if they humble themselves enough, then God will give. It's all about getting God to do what you want. It really is. About at the end of the day, I mean, if anyone says that's not it, that's still it. Like, you're trying. But people have taken it. Religion has taken it to this ultimate, like, self-sacrificing, like, no, you don't understand. I'm really going to humble myself in front of God. And then, you know what? I don't even care if he does what I want, because that's how humble I am. I don't care. He can do whatever he wants. And then, but you're still hoping that means he's going to do something good for you. You really, am I wrong? Like, and it's just taking it to, it's like a sport. That's what religion is. It's like taking it to this extreme of being incredibly humble. And then you're still in the back of your mind. You're like, I'm the most humble. God's totally going to do what I want. Yes. But God's a step ahead of you. Anyway, all right. I'm actually running out of time, so I'm just going to kind of read through the rest of this. It's more instructions for an all-powerful God. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward his house, then hear thou in the heavens thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger, this is more instructions for God, that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they all hear of thy great name and of thy strong. So now he's saying, like, okay, let me tell you also some more advice, God. There's going to be people who are going to come to this town because they know you. Why are you telling God these things? God knows everything. It's so weird. Anyway, when he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel. And that they may know that in this house which I have builded is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then thou hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Oh, thank you. Good tip. Thank you for the tip, man. Okay, cool. Any other tips for the all-powerful guy who knows everything? Any other, you know, little pointers for me? Because clearly I don't know anything. I don't know how to do my job. Because you're telling me how to do my job. I must not know. I must not know how. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, as you and I both know. Yeah. Anyway, those guys. If they sin against thee, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and done perversely, and we've committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, and in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which gave us unto their fathers, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. Oh, thanks. Any more God tips? Any more God pointers for God right here? You're giving me advice. I really need this. I'm an idiot. I don't know how to do anything. I bumble. God, I drop things. You gotta give me some advice. For they be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt. Okay, hold on. Oh, I didn't write that last part down. Let me make sure I got a... Nope. Okay. So they're my people? Okay, good. Got it. Thank you. For thou didst separate them from among the people of the earth. I chose you guys. Thank you. I would have forgotten. Let me write that down too. I chose, separated you. Got it. Okay. Among the people, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he had promised by the hand of Moses. And now he's trying to guilt trip God, he's like, he's done praying to God. He goes to the people. He's like, God has done everything we've asked. And I don't see any reason why I wouldn't continue. You know, he's done everything. He's a great God. He's done everything we've asked. I just asked him like 12 more things. We'll see if he does them. I think he will. Anyway, and he's a politician. Solomon's a politician. You know, he's trying to manipulate God. Blessed be the Lord that hath given. Well, and that's another thing. In general, if everyone really creates their own God, they all do. Obviously, everyone's God is sort of them. You know, like what they think would be like a better version of them, you know, or what they can conceive of as like the ultimate being. So this guy conceives like his God, Solomon's God, is a little more complex, and he deals with him how he would deal with himself. You know, like that's just how it is. That's how people are. I don't know. It's really funny. Anyway, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Oh, I already read that. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him leave us not, nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant, and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, and to keep his commandments, as at this day. And the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord, 22,000 oxen, and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. That same day did the king hallow the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for he offered burnt offerings and meat offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings. Because of the brazen altar that was before the Lord was too little to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat of the peace offerings. I don't know why that was necessary to tell us. And at that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation from entering in of Hamath under the river of Egypt before the Lord our God, 7 days and seven nights. No, 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. What? On the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king, and went unto their tents, joyful and glad of heart, for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David, his servant, and Israel's people. Okay, sorry I had to hurry a little bit at the end. I had thought that I had plenty of time, but the first chapter just turned out to be a little more entertaining than I thought. But actually, this has turned out to be just about the same length as the last episode. So anyway, I'm off to go play a hockey game. Playoff hockey. First round. Can't help it. Sorry. But I squeezed it in. That was a good episode, actually. I take it back. It didn't suck. I don't think so. I mean, I'm not saying I was great. I just mean there's more to it than I thought when I first read it. Okay, thanks for being listeners. And yeah, I'll see you guys next time, and on hopefully next week on the Digression Sessions. The Digress Sessions. Digress Sessions. Anyway, all right. See you guys later.